Well, Florida was able to beat the cheating algorithm in 2020 because 300,000 Miami-Dade Hispanic citizens came out to vote, overcoming the internet-connected voting machines, the ballot boxes sitting at every polling station, and weeks of early voting. And Florida might not be so lucky on November 8th, and I'll show you why. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine and so much more. Welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this incredible Friday, November 4th, 2022. I'm Dr. Jane Ruby. You know, we're on the precipice of what is likely the most consequential election in our history because we are infected and invaded by the most evil forces on the planet right now. Our government is gone, in my opinion. Our governmental agencies have been taken over. They've collapsed in their functions. We are under a very extensively executed, again, in my opinion, Marxist takeover of the United States, one of the few less holdout states, at least in terms of people's perception, with any hope of resistance, is my current domicile, the state of Florida. And earlier in the week, I spoke to a group of patriots and I told them that Florida was in grave danger of coming to this election in a few days of falling. And I told them why. For those of you running down here to change your domicile, you might want to think twice. In the state of Florida, we still have internet-connected voting machines, mail-in ballot boxes, and a lot of them outside of every polling station, and early voting. These are the tools of the cheaters. Florida election fraud expert and founder of the People's Audit, Chris Jersky, joins me now. Chris, welcome to the show. Tell me, how much trouble are we in? Are we really in?
Thank you so much for having me. It was such an important opportunity to reach out to people on the COVID side. I really respect everything you and your audience has been involved in I feel like you guys were on the front line in this fight. You guys were the ones in the trenches and holding back the forces while we were in the background trying to basically figure out what was happening. Specifically, Florida, really, like you just said, people were telling us that Florida was fine. Everything was fine. It was a gold standard. We were lied to over and over and over again as we started, called crazy. But because of my background, I'm uniquely kind of looked at this differently. I'm first generation American, born to two Polish immigrants, and my wife was Venezuelan. So essentially my background, all the way from seeing my parents celebrate the wall coming down and Poland being basically destroyed, or I mean, communism being destroyed in Poland.
Sure.
Then I watched my wife's country get dismantled, all because of voting. So I knew that politicians were going to lie to us. I knew the media specifically was going to lie to us. And we just didn't buy it. We just basically said, show us the data. And we just found some amazingly remarkable stuff that I'd like to share.
Yeah, I'm really excited that you're going to be here because we're a few days away from the election. And it's not only affecting people in Florida. I want you all to pay attention to what Chris has to say because this is most definitely in the rest of the country. So, Chris, and I don't know if you want to say a couple of words about your background. And in addition to the socio-economic history and your family's fight against communism, your background in terms of, there's an IT background. Did I get that right?
Yeah, but I'm kind of a unique person because I've really been a solo entrepreneur working directly with investors. And primarily what I've been doing over years is taking people that are like what they consider mom and pop that are probably between 10, 15 employees and then taking them into the corporate world with investors, basically helping them. So there's a lot of stuff that I do with process, understanding processes. More importantly, I usually get thrown into the deep end of the pool with little to no documentation and have to reverse engineer the entire company and understand how everything works and then understand the data and their computers and things like that as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my background is really in data cleansing and getting addresses, more specifically like customer lists and things like that.
Okay, that's going to come in handy. So tell us the story so far.
Yeah, so with that expertise, I mean, when I came into this environment, there were so many incredible people that were over the machines. And essentially, I saw a lot of people looking at the machines, talking about the hacking of the machines and things like that. but not a lot of people were looking at the voter rolls as well as the addresses specifically of the voter rolls. So I figured let's spend some attention on there. One of the first things that we did was basically go out to all the canvassers in Florida. And one of the biggest problems we heard from people canvassing was nearly just about every other door they knocked on, there was somebody in the household that was moved away because they sold the house and they were still voting by mail. And it was like a very strange situation, because either we had two kind of situations where the person said that they didn't vote by mail and they were shown as voting by mail. And the other one was, is that the person inside their house sold the house and was shown as voting by mail. But in both of those cases, the people were incredulous. They were looking at it straight in the face and saying, that's impossible. There's no way a ballot was in my name because we never got anything. That was the secret to finding this out, because it was nagging us through the whole point. Like, we saw 2,000 mules come out, and that one's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. If people were collecting ballots at nursing homes and things like that, they had a point that they could actually collect those ballots. And even in some cases, you would think that they maybe gathered some from the post office, even that they got from like undeliverable mail. But this point kept on coming up all over the state. And when we did this analysis where we put all voters in their house in Florida, we could see clearly that there was millions of ballots that were at only one or two voters in a specific house, and they were perfectly carpeted all the way through Florida. This kind of matches up with Dr. Frank from the Lindell's group's analysis, that he showed almost like a mechanical precision of votes all the way across Florida that perfectly lined up with the census. And because of the sheer scale of it, we literally just sat there confused for months, trying to understand how on earth could anything like this happen, especially at the size of it.
Yeah. And I want you to, you brought some very interesting pictures. I know a little bit about the story about one of them, but I want you to, you guide us through as you're telling this story, and we will bring up those pictures for the audience to see.
Great. Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing it was is like in the timeline, somewhere around the June timeframe of this year, it started to click, because we started to see a disturbing pattern in the 2020 results. 2020, 2 months before the election, sometime in September of 2020, we saw hundreds of thousands of addresses across the state of Florida switch. And when I say switch, they went from what they were previously to a new address. And then right in time for the final election, they switched back to what they were previously. And it was a mix of changes when we went into that. Some of them were blatantly fake addresses, but some of them were switching to international folks. And that one really bothered us, because we were like, "What? Who goes on vacation, asks for a mail-in ballot while they're on vacation, and then quickly switches their vote, their address back with the supervisor of election right in time for the official results of the mail or the official results of the election?" And more importantly, why would the supervisor of elections keep that change of address after, most importantly, after they delivered a ballot to the other address? That was the most troubling part of all this.
It is very troubling, because what that really implies is that the cover up is built in. It's built into the cheat.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to document somebody's move, I would say that, okay, at least keep the address where the ballot was going. But the thing was, is none of this stuff was public information. We didn't realize that there was another report behind the scenes that actually tracks where a vote mail ballot goes. So around June, we started reaching out to candidates and asking them questions about undeliverable mail, because we had suspicions about this undeliverable mail basically being involved. But most importantly, if you want to pull up picture number one,
sure.
Our local supervisor of election, Alan Hayes, he came up on video somewhere in the middle of July next to this Baker rack of undeliverable voter identification cards. And if you're in Florida, you probably heard this from multiple supervisor of elections. A lot of them went on the nightly broadcast asking for people to update their address, because they were getting huge amounts of these returned voter identification cards.
Right. Wow. Yeah, I can see him standing there next to the postal, you know, boxes and all that. I'm surprised they didn't try to cover that up or use those as fake ballots. But
was actually 18. No, I'm sorry. After we counted it,
I see
22,000 voter identification cards just in Lake County that were returned. So our first reaction was, whoa, is this happening again? Because then it clicked in our heads that this is 2 months before the primary. We immediately reached out to candidates and wanted to get access to these reports so we can do some analysis. And some of the stuff immediately jumped out at us. What we were doing was, this is available to every e-commerce site software. If you've ever typed your address in an eBay or Amazon, you might get a screen that says, can you confirm that this is your address? And they're standardizing it. Maybe you made a mistake and they're asking you to correct it. This is most importantly free and available from the post office. So I don't understand why our systems are not using this. So when we were looking through the vote by mail ballot request here in the June, July timeframe, all of these addresses were popping up as undeliverable. But most importantly, a weird error jumped back at us that said, we've never heard of this address. Like literally the post office saying, we don't know what this address is. You have to put it in perspective. Florida's voting records are tied to your driver's license. So if you move anywhere in the state, it will automatically update as soon as you get a driver's license.
Well, that's a good thing. Yeah.
That's key number one, you shouldn't have to call the supervisor of elections and update your address. So that should be the first red flag.
But
why are we having all these?
And exactly. Am I following it? If I ask you then that the reason you have so many returned is because that system is not working like it's supposed to in Florida?
No, it points to fraudulent voters or something nefarious going on, because there shouldn't be that many bounces. And then the second thing going back to Alan Hayes, we were trying to basically get hold of these cards and ask him, can we document these voters?
Let's bring him up again. Yeah, let's bring him up again and make sure he's famous for blocking. Yeah. He's one of the bad guys, Alan Hayes.
He literally told us that we weren't allowed to access this data, that this was something secret. And we had to sit behind glass, and he was going to show one card at a time on a TV screen to us. And we were like, what's going on here? We had to call Pete Antonacci, who was head of the elections crime unit. And let me talk about what we found at the end of the election there. This was the primary election that happened in August. Right at the end of that election, one of the errors that jumped out was address not found. I was just talking about that a second ago. And when we looked into that pile of errors, a road came out called Red Belly Road. Okay. I'm from this area, didn't recognize it. I couldn't find it in the property records. I couldn't find it on Zillow, couldn't find it in Google. And we were like, what's going on here? We had the voter rolls at that moment. We looked it up. If you could pull up that card number two.
Sure, that's picture two. And it's somebody's voter name and address on Red Belly Road in Claremont. Okay, carry on.
That's proof that this is not just in my spreadsheet. 37 people had their road changed to Red Belly Road. This whole street of people had their address changed to Red Belly Road. We went out and interviewed these people and got affidavits. Nobody on that street asked for the street to be changed. No one knew what we were talking about. And definitely nobody on that street requested a mail-in ballot. And there was 5 mail-in ballots requested from that street.
Well, what was their real street? Was there another street that was their real
street? We had to go back to the 2020 election to find out that they were actually on 12th Street. And when we looked up those addresses, in fact, they were all in the tax records, and that's how we were able to find them.
Chris, the reason this is important, and I want people to pay very close attention to all this evidence you're laying out, is we just went through a Florida primary, and I watched countless new Republican candidates challenging rhinos who are part of the dirty system. That's how they keep getting elected, and Democrats and who were beating them and neck and neck with them. And then in the last hour, it was 2020, like deja vu all over again, like Yogi Berra said. And this truck came in, or this box came in. Why do we stand for that? So we just.
There was quite a bit of candidates that lost only to vote by mail. I only had a limited reach when we had this discovery, because literally we found this out right on election day. Mm. And at the time, I think I had only 50 followers on Telegram, and which trying to put out the word. Luckily, we were able to reach out, and people were spreading the word faster and faster.
Good.
But this problem right here, I mean, seeing the voter identification card, this was the only person on the street that got their voter identification card. And by the grace of God, we were sitting there interviewing them. And the mail person walked up, and they said that the only reason they delivered this card is because they knew these people and they were friends with them for like 20 years. So you talk about a miracle. Yeah, we were on the street at that time doing the canvassing, and we just ran into finding the card that we could get a picture of, as well as the mail person.
Yeah, that's that card. We're going to bring it up. You know, it's up again. Red Belly. So it's because the postman knew the people and said, Red Belly, that's wrong. They're over here. And then you were there at the same time. That's all praise and honor and glory go to God, because those are those are unexplainable divine interventions. Okay, so I'll let you continue. You have a few more pictures. We have time. Chris is going to be with us on the other side of the break, because this was so important, and I had seen him in a couple of other interviews, and you have so much information, Chris, that I don't want you to miss anything or rush through. So carry on with the next part of the story.
Yeah, we were just perplexed on how this could happen, because my immediate reaction was that this was a hack. And I thought immediately we had to basically warn the state and local officials. But since we were having so much pushback from the local supervisor of elections, we went to the Lake County Sheriff's, filed a report, gave them all this information as soon as we could, gave them all the affidavits of the people on the street, and as well as filed it with the Elections Commissions up in Tallahassee. We pressed and pressed to get any kind of feedback back from our local law enforcement. They first came back and said, well, why are you even talking to us about this? This is an elections issue. And I explained how much pushback we were getting. At the same time, we had an Epoch Times article came out talking about this issue. And the reporter called Alan Hayes and asked him, can you explain this? And what's the explanation for this? He blamed it on a 911 address change, which doesn't make any sense, because first of all, the reporter called our local 911 director and they said, we've never heard of Red Belly Road. Yeah. So that shot that down completely. But more importantly is, like, why were you editing addresses in June, which is exactly the time where the Florida voter rolls get frozen for the election? I don't understand why addresses would be changed at that moment for redistricting. All you have to do is basically change the precinct. So none of what he was saying is adding up.
Right.
But unfortunately, after weeks and weeks of pressing the local Lutwitsam sheriff, they said that we're going to take Alan Hayes's word for it, that basically they're sitting in front of a 911 terminal that they could have checked it themselves. But they said, we're going to take Alan Hayes's word for it, that 911 was the reason for this change. They referred it to Tallahassee and it went nowhere. To bring up Peter Antonucci again, we were on the phone with him trying to see if we could get some kind of clarity about this issue and work with our local supervisor elections, mostly to get access to these cards. Mm-hmm. He was actually very helpful. He agreed with us almost 100%. And he said, quote, because he said this happened in Broward quite a bit. He said, if a voter has undeliverable mail, they should be considered presumptively ineligible from voting by mail, which is basic common sense.
Yes,
if I can't get normal mail to that person, why would I accept the mail-in ballot from the same address?
Yeah, absolutely.
But unfortunately, literally 2 days after we talked to him, he was supposedly meeting with Cord Bird and the I believe it's the chief of staff for DeSantis. The word is that we weren't there, but the word is that the argument, they got into a heated debate. He asked to step outside for a moment, and he literally collapsed and died of a heart attack at the Capitol.
Wow. Was he jabbed? Yeah. Do you know?
That was probably one of the first things we said. We thought, but I mean,
what's God rest his status?
Soul, he actually was trying to help.
He was trying to help, but he could have been a victim of, you know, whatever the state required at the time. We just got about a minute left, but what I want to do before we break is I wanted to bring up I have a couple of pictures I gave production, and I know you've seen them, Chris. It's picture number one, which is the picture of a ballot box. It says right on the sign underneath this thing, it's my polling place. It's where I walked in to vote that night in 2020, and it says vote by mail drop off. Wait a minute. Well, I thought it was mail and vote by mail. And why are you doing that when you can just, the door's wide open, you just walk in. So, I wanted people to see that, you know, if we need to, we'll bring it up again in the next segment. But Chris, don't go away. Chris is going to be back with us in the next segment. Sit tight. Before we do break, I do want to, talk about I want you to protect your own savings, your own retirement savings. Think about, there's so much that you need to prepare for. Money going over to the Ukraine every week, it seems, by this crazy, administration. And I just want you to give a shout out to Gold Co. at 859-791-2619, because you need to buttress and protect your retirement savings, especially if you've got more than $50,000 saved. You need to buttress it with physical gold and silver. If you call them, they'll send out a kit, an IRS loophole kit. You can learn more about how to protect your money instead of just sitting there like a sitting duck. When I return, we're going to talk to voter fraud expert Chris Jersky and get more of the lowdown. I think his story is shocking and there's more to tell. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. It's hard to overstate how important magnesium is for your health and well-being. In fact, magnesium deficiency can increase your risk of all illnesses. And you might not know that there are 7 different types of magnesium the body needs. BioOptimizers has the solution. Their supplement is specially formulated to dramatically improve your overall health, from reducing stress to improving sleep and boosting your energy levels. Go to magbreakthrough.com and use the code RUBY for 10% off. Don't wait to be deficient. Just go to magbreakthrough.com. Code RUBY. Well, welcome back to the second segment of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show in this fascinating discussion with this election fraud hunter, Chris Jersky, who's here today. Chris, I'm so glad to have you back and glad that you could spend extra time with us. So I don't want to take any of it up reintroducing you. Let's pick up where we left off. We finished with Alan Hayes, the Red Belly Road fraud. Let's pick it up from there.
Yeah, the silence was deafening. I mean, we didn't hear anything back from Tallahassee at all. The supervisor of elections kind of circled the wagons and just put it aside like there was nothing to see here. And even the local law enforcement ignoring it, it really put us back and said, okay, what's going on here? How is this actually happening? And then the other thing was, is obviously when we started announcing Red Belly Road, we were like, who has the capability of doing something like this? Because This is a ghost in the machine. These are records that are being switched without anybody's knowledge. And it does, and are happening in such volume. I can't stress that enough. The volume really starts to only put a couple of key vendors in suspicion. Ooh. Because this isn't a supervisor of elections thing. You're talking about an operation to pull off millions of ballots across the state in absolute precision. They're carpeted through neighborhoods.
Let's not let her off the hook. Wendy yeah. Sartori Link. I want people to know her name. She's a villain in this because she's come out and said she's pro mail-in ballot. Doesn't matter if there's a pandemic. They got
That's another thing. The supervisor of elections almost like I don't think I have to explain to your audience that you almost have to believe that they created COVID just to get mail-in ballots.
There's no question.
So when you start thinking about the volume of the steal we're talking about, there's only a couple handful of people that could pull something like this off. You're not talking about the mules where you're stuffing backpacks. Mm-hmm. You're talking about millions of ballots. Who's going to store millions of ballots? Who's going to sign a million ballots? Who has the capability of accessing signatures to sign millions of ballots? So when we started to think about all these things, immediately popped up that the printer is really the only person in the chain of events that has full unsupervised access to any of this stuff.
Wow.
So we were like looking out and saying, okay, who's printing ballots in the state of Florida? Because no one was talking about that. Nobody was even looking there. We quickly discovered that Runbeck actually was printing ballots for Hillsborough and Pinellas. And by far, when you do the analysis, Pinellas has more mail-in ballots per square mile than anywhere else in the state. And Runbeck was essentially the villain, they say, in Arizona and Georgia. They were notorious for what they pulled off there. Same issues that people were asking for the undeliverable ballots, but they couldn't find them.
Wow. So they're part of this. So let's get their name up there. I want my producer to it's Runbeck, R-U-N. How do you spell it?
Yeah, Runbeck Printing. They're specifically known. It came out early in the Arizona audit, but for some reason it was squashed and no one else was talking about them anymore. But at first we were like, wow, okay, Runbeck's here in Florida. We weren't expecting to see them, but they only took care of those two counties. We were like, what's going on for the rest? And this was incredibly hard to find. This is not something that they were willing to give us. We did FOIAs asking, but there was like a spotting number of small printers. But then this one huge, huge printer came out in Orlando called Fiddler Elections. And that's where the story just gets absolutely insane, because there, well, the first thing was, is Fiddler prints ballots for 2/3 of the state, 42 wow. out of 67 counties. And you can guess that they're probably the most populous counties as well. So they print ballots all for the entire state of Florida, right here in Central Florida, right in Orlando, right by the airport. So they can literally get the ballots to any part of the state, both through the airport, Orlando International Airport, as well as the postal distribution center that's probably a couple minutes away from their location. Mm-hmm. But that's where the story just gets very creepy, because Fiddler by itself would have been suspicious. But the company was actually sold to a New York firm. Believe this or not, like, a New York firm is now in charge of printing ballots for 2/3 of the state in Florida. When we looked into the company, it's called Cathedral Printing. Cathedral Printing is based out of Rome, New York. If you're interested in the Da Vinci Code, you can follow that rabbit hole in that direction. I won't go too much further into that. But the CEO of Cathedral is a woman named Marianne Gage. When we looked her up in the FEC, just to get an idea of what her political bias was, she's actually a monthly contributor to Act Blue, which is a Democratic, basically, a contribution site. But more importantly, she gives to a PAC that's called Democratic Action. This PAC is specifically, its mission statement is to get Democratic governors elected all across the United States.
What's her name again, Chris? What's her name?
Marianne Gage.
Okay, we just want to make sure we can make her famous, too.
Yep.
Because she's got a huge conflict of interest.
Yeah, you would think that, like, a person that's printing our ballots that wants Democratic governors across the whole state, and now she has access to print mail-in ballots for 2/3 of the state, would have caused some kind of pause. When I was in the military, they were bringing up the fact that I had family in Poland that I could never be top secret. It boggles the mind to think that right after the inauguration of Trump, they let this sale go through. And if you go deeper into Cathedral, they actually bought another company that was nearby, this called Axis Data, which is all the information for tracking and addressing mail-in ballots.
I see.
If people are familiar with the software Eric, which runs voter rolls for multiple states, this is eerily similar to that. And just for the state of Florida, they would know everybody that's moved out of the state, as well as tracking mail-in ballots across the state. So now you're talking about consolidate both the printing and the tracking in one organization, completely unsupervised by the supervisor of election.
Who are these women in picture three? I'd like to, is this your cathedral?
Yeah, if you pull up picture three, this is Cathedral. Cathedral basically posted this, and this woman here is certified in the state of Florida as Master Access. She has basically the ability to access everything for the voter rolls, including all the master ballots, most likely, because this is basically a state certification that gives you full access to the vendors and everything, basically elections.
So who are these
people? She goes by.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Who are these people, Chris?
If you look at the picture, it says Stacy Rodriguez. But if you look at the picture next to that, that's Mark Earley. Mark Earley is the supervisor of elections.
Okay.
In Leon County.
Let's slow He's down married. A little bit. Okay, because we have three. Yep. We have Cathedral Post, which is picture number three, which yep. is where these ladies are getting an award.
So yes.
They're literally like getting it like Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, gets the Israel Genesis Award. You know, the guy who's killed more people all over the world. A humanitarian award. We have this twisted Lori Forrester.
Lori Forrester. We haven't been able to find anything bad about her at all. But the main thing is that this certification gives wide range access to the voter rolls, as well as probably signatures, master ballots. So they could literally essentially print ballots for the entire state if they need to.
Okay, so picture number four is that picture, and side by side with this Stacy Rodriguez. What's her story? She's getting an award.
She goes by Stacy Rodriguez while she's working at Fiddler Elections. But in fact, she's Stacy Earley, and she's married to the president of the Florida Supervisor of Elections.
What?
And current Supervisor of Elections of Leon County in Tallahassee.
Can we bring that up? That's picture five of Mark Earley, who's married to Stacy Rodriguez, who has been certified and designated a Master Florida Certified Elections Vendor. That means as a vendor, and her husband is supervisor of elections in a county in Florida, and she's been certified to have master access to everything about our voting?
Yeah, and he's current president of all supervisor of elections in Florida under the FSE.
Mark
and
Hurley.
Why on earth was this allowed to go forward? How on earth could somebody tell me that they didn't know this was happening when clearly, I mean, if you're talking about somebody working for a particular government agency, I would assume they're looking into spouses and family connections first to see that the company that is such a critical piece of infrastructure to be basically managing all of our mail-in ballots and real ballots. Because keep in mind, these shenanigans you heard about in Arizona and Michigan, where you make a slight change in the ballot and now the ballot becomes adjudicated, is also controlled by the printer. The printer could just basically move over a little bit of what's called a registration mark.
Oh my God.
And now it won't feed correctly and won't be read correctly by the machines, and it will go into adjudication, which will be corrected by the supervisor of elections.
So look up who the printers are in your states. Chris is giving you incredible information here. Look at the return ballots. Go to your candidates that lost. Look at get the return ballots. And look at who's in charge of printing, and look at who's certified also, Chris, as a master access vendor, whatever it's called.
It might go by different names, but more importantly, what it is that you want to identify the company and who works at those companies and how are they related to your public officials.
Wow.
Because the conflict of interest is just absolutely mind-boggling that they're pushing, just like you said, every supervisor of elections is pushing for mail-in ballots. And I find it very hard to believe that there's this connection with private public relationships where you have somebody's spouse materially gaining from a contract that is essentially promoting mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
They're essentially creating the volume for mail-in ballots, and they're trying to push us into mail-in ballots. And that would essentially enrich a public official.
Terrible. Terrible. These conflicts of interest are overlooked, but you've got, remember the picture I showed of those vans, Wendy Sartori Link. Her name is on the vans. Look in the back of the van. There are those boxes that I showed, Chris, you know, where it says drop in your mail in here, vote by mail. Those trucks, I walked by them. They were just about maybe 100 yards away from the door. And I walked by and said, ladies, what is the chain of custody? What is the, you'd think they'd be friendly and say, oh, this is what we do. She put the umbrella in front of her to cover her face. They started to turn their backs to me. And I thought, something is so dirty here. Why do you think Governor DeSantis has not ripped these internet connected machines out and stopped mail-in ballots? Because that's how every Republican is losing in the last hour.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I've never had a chance to speak to him personally, but there has been rumors have been saying that people have warned him because his election was so close that they might go back and audit and find out that he lost. I find that laughable because of the steel being so bad. We now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is no way a Democrat could probably, or at least a progressive Marxist Democrat, left-leaning Democrat could ever win in Florida. We are a red state. We are a conservative state. Everywhere you go in this state, you drive around, there's just American flags, Trump country.
Yeah,
I
get it.
It's hard to believe that these races are even close. And just like you said, in the primary, it never ceases to amaze us that the establishments always just happen to pull off at the last minute. Something happens that they're able to pull something off.
Right, exactly right. There is no reason for this mail-in ballot thing. It's unverified. These Democrats are drunk on power. They're drunk. I mean, I'm sorry, but even Governor DeSantis, I like a lot of things he's done, but even he has maintained the emergency powers because they're drunk on the money and the power, and it gives them, you know, openings to so many other things. But really, he better watch himself in this election, because it could go down. It could go the other way, Chris. Anyway, what easily, other evidence do you want? Yeah.
I mean, the thing about we were able to, by the grace of God, I was working with the Florida Republican Assemblies now. They gave us wide access to the state records for the general. And we were able to do an analysis on the current general right now. Unfortunately, we're at a 2-to-1 advantage. If you put Democrats and NPAs together for mail, they beat us 2 million ballots to one.
But they're fake.
In Republican.
But, yeah. but
that's the thing. That's the problem. But this is so sneaky. One discovery just came out that unfortunately puts the cherry on the top of all this. Is that we were at a recent event here in Orlando, and another group that we work closely with, Cleta Mitchell's group for Who's Counting, somebody got on stage and they were looking at voting signatures and ballots right now that are happening in the primary in Orange County. And she noticed that one of the signatures on the screen was a 100% match with what she was looking at in the envelope. The problem is that 100% match was from 2019 when the person first registered. Mm. She went and looked closely at the signature during the public with a magnifying glass, and the signature was 100% printed. You could see the dots from the ink that basically the signature was being printed on the ballots. So again, this goes back, I'm trying to warn the alarms here, because the sheer size of this steal is in the millions. There's not many people that have the capabilities. If you start running through it, they're not going to spread these things out like McDonald's all across the state. They want to centralize it. They want to be able to get this stuff in the mail and get it back to the supervisor of elections. It all runs through machines now because they don't even do hand signature verification. So this is very important. When you have a signature that's on file in Florida matching against a computer signature that was printed, you have 100% match. Mm-hmm. So this isn't something that they're ever going to contest. You're never going to see it. That's right. Just going to be told to you that the machine counted it. Everything's good. And the only thing that the people get a chance to review are the signatures that get rejected by the machines. That's all. And those are probably human beings that are actually just writing a signature, and they're the ones being scrutinized.
Chris, what you have uncovered is that what I said earlier, the cover-up is already built in. They don't even have to initiate phase two. The cover-up is built into the cheat.
Yes.
I have a problem with internet-connected machines because that's always a vulnerability to outside control. Not sure how we got there, but I'm very concerned. You're right. I mean, DeSantis could lose. You know, in the 2020, you probably know this, that Florida went for Trump. Right. And they think it's because of those 300,000 Hispanics in Miami-Dade that overwhelmed inadvertently you know, they came out strong and they overwhelmed the algorithm. And there was some story that, well, we could just let it go. You know, let's not fight that one. It'll be too obvious. But the scary part of that was that other than a few people, and there were hundreds running for Congress, for state, you know, the whole bit, all but two or three ish, down ballot lost. You know that's a cheat. I'm sorry. You know that's a cheat.
Well, we had it happen here in Central Florida, too. We had a lot of America First candidates across Central Florida. They got basically beat in mail, and it was just mail. That's all it was. The thing that's so critical to understand this is because this happened in Arizona. When you audit and you count these ballots, I want to make sure everybody's clear.
Yeah.
This is such a creepy, sneaky attack. These are real ballots. These are authentic ballots being voted on. And then once the ballot is separated from the envelope, nobody's thinking about the envelope anymore. They're just counting the ballots.
Yeah.
So when they count these out, you'll take the machines and you'll hand count these ballots, and everybody will look at everybody saying, wow, we really did lose. But the key answer is did that person actually vote? That's what I keep on asking over and over again, because with the address flipping that they're doing, they're stealing people's identities. They're clearly stealing people's identities and basically voting as them.
Wow.
The problems that we have with people showing up at the polls and they're being told that they've already voted in all cases is because a mail-in ballot arrived before they did. And then they're told, come over here and fill out a provisional ballot. We're trying to sound the alarms for everybody.
Yeah.
If you're in a situation where they've told you that you've already voted, don't cause a scene. Step outside, call your local sheriff, ask him to dispatch. We've talked to sheriffs. They're willing to do this.
Oh.
Fill out a report. If you do have your mail-in ballot, bring it with you, show it to the deputy. ask the person at the counter to basically explain to the deputy, get a police report filled out with a case ID so you can document that your identity has been stolen. The thing is the supervisor of elections will just tell you to fill out a provisional ballot and say, we'll take care of it. Right. But of course, the steal's in. So, I mean, they'll just ignore
it. That's right, Chris. That's good advice, though. And no, we would have no way of knowing, I think, if you didn't tell us to go outside, call the sheriff. And this is your county sheriff's office, local.
Absolutely. Okay. And don't make a scene and don't call the non-emergency line, because we've asked the sheriffs to help us here, because the main point about this is documenting that there was a crime that happened. Everybody's trying to ignore this and play it off that it's no big deal. But once we start seeing these reports pile up at the sheriff's office, something's going to have to be done.
I see. Yeah. Criminal. But, you know, how do you consolidate it to, you know, to focus the criminal prosecution? There's so many ants, you know, around the ant farm that are, it's disgusting to think that so many people, whether they have conflicts of interest or not, you know, are doing this to their country and their fellow Americans. It's really sickening. It's quite sickening. It is.
I mean, I learned so much since I've been doing this, but the main thing here is that I trust an educated American. If people understand what's going on here, the game is over as far as I'm concerned. Like as long as we all know what's going on, the thing about what happened in Venezuela is no one knew that. And the thing was, is they were first. So they completely got basically overrun by this solution. But if we know what's going on and we start challenging our local officials to prove it to us, it's not that we have to accept the election. This is essentially consent of the governed. Okay. They have to show us that they're using the laws, and they're obviously breaking so many laws. I mean, the thing that was so appalling after this last event is that somebody documented the numbers of ways that they were cheating. There was over 30 ways, 30 distinct ways that they were cheating. What I've just explained, if you just isolated it and you looked at it, it's just one sliver on top of all of it. But if you went down any single road, they would be like, oh, that's not enough to change the election. But once you put them all together, that's essentially how they're stealing.
Wow, it is so layered. This is what concerns me. It's so layered and it's so hidden. Parts of it are hidden, like we said. The cover up is already built in. They're already, you know, you can come in innocently as a candidate and say, well, you know, I'd like to see the, you know, do a recount or a verification on, you know, absentees and mail-ins. And they're just giving you the phony and you say, oh, I guess I did lose. You know, this is really sickening, Chris. Do you think that, we're getting down a little bit to the wire of the end of this segment, but, I want to make sure people know how they can learn more from you. First of all, we're not signing up yet, but want to get this in, and how they can help you in various ways, volunteers, donations, whatever, what's happening.
Yeah, I could definitely use some donations because I sacrificed all my business and I've been doing this 100% for over 8 months now. So I could use the donations. The website is called the-peoples-audit.org, all hyphens in between the word, peoplesaudit.org. And you can find me on Telegram or Truth Social by the people's audit altogether.
Okay. Altogether. Mm-hmm. That's great. I did take a look at the website and it's where people can file, right? They fill it out. Okay. That's good.
If you're in Florida, we have a system there. There's a link there that you can check to see who's voting from your house, because that was primarily what started this all. Was we started to see that people were voting inside your house that you didn't know you were there. So if you fill out your name, address, or you put your last name and your birth date, it will check to see if your residence basically had somebody else in it that you didn't know was there. Whoa. And that's from the 2020 election. We'll have that updated here shortly for the general.
So if you moved into an apartment or bought a home, and the people that lived there before were still getting their mail forwarded, and they get their ballot and they voted for that, and they live in another state, that's fraudulent voting. You would be able to find out if somebody voted from your address.
Absolutely. That's the first thing we basically discovered during canvassing, and that website will help you find out. Because the other thing is if there's somebody, most of the time we'll see somebody registered. It even happened to me. I mean, the previous owner's son is still registered at my house. He didn't vote, but he's still registered. And I use the example of like fuel depots. These people are sitting around the state ready to be stolen at any minute. They know they moved. There's systems that notify the supervisor of elections when everybody's moved.
Terrible.
And that they're clearly leaving these people behind on the voter rolls.
Yeah. Chris, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and such short notice to get you in before the election. You've taught us so much, and I hope people will go to the website and help you out, because you're an incredible American and a patriot. You've already given so much to the country in your service in the military. So I want to thank you for all of that. And thanks for being with me. Well, maybe we can get together after the election, and hopefully we're talking about some positive things and not a total cheat, steal, loss.
Absolutely. And I appreciate everybody, you and in your audience. But the big thing is you guys were fighting these battles for all these years. And I know you guys want to take a breath, but we really need some help here. We need some people to be out there, eyeballs on the ground, watching and challenging their supervisor of elections.
Yeah.
So I know that you guys were been challenging your public officials, but we need some help with your elections.
Yeah. Don't just go and vote and leave. Just stay there. If you got a couple hours, stay there, observe, take notes, got your cell phone, Sea of New Media, and record. So thanks again, Chris. God bless you for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Incredible, incredible story. I'm so worried for Tuesday for all over the country. I want to close out this second segment. It's just been a powerhouse with Chris Jersky for two segments. It's unbelievable. I want to thank my sponsor, Carlos Cortez, and the America First Retirement Plan Group. Nowhere safer to put your money. Great financial advisement. Check it out at AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. When I return, I've got a little special, kind of a fun thing. We have somebody here who is one of my network co-hosts, but that we've got a little bit of a history together that we're going to share with you. Nice surprise. Don't go away. We'll be right back for that. It's hard to overstate how important magnesium is for your health and well-being. In fact, magnesium deficiency can increase your risk of all illnesses, and you might not know that there are 7 different types of magnesium the body needs. BioOptimizers has the solution. Their supplement is specially formulated to dramatically improve your overall health, from reducing stress to improving sleep and boosting your energy levels. Go to magbreakthrough.com and use the code RUBY for 10% off. Don't wait to be deficient. Just go to magbreakthrough.com. Code RUBY. Well, before I bring in my last guest for this third segment, I want to repeat a warning that I've been putting out for people who get trapped in hospitals with and then with a COVID diagnosis and on the trajectory to remdesivir and ventilators. It's come to my attention that these killer hospitals are substituting another dangerous drug when you refuse the remdesivir. It's called Olumiant, or its generic name is baricitinib. This drug was originally approved for rheumatic arthritis, but now being forced on people without their knowledge or consent, it carries a black box warning, the highest warning of danger the FDA can confer on an approved drug. It causes heart attacks, strokes, serious systemic infections, permanent neurological damage, and so much more. You must remember to refuse, and for your loved ones to refuse, Olumiant when you refuse remdesivir. Okay. Phew. Welcome to Friday. I'm so happy to be here. As you know, the Dr. Jane Ruby Show is part of the Stu Peters Network, and I thought it might be fun to introduce you to one of my colleagues, an old-time friend from my DC days, who I don't know if you're going to guess this or not, but it's the host of Shots Fired on our own network, Deanna Lorraine, an incredible conservative, patriot, author, and a firebrand who had the nerve in 2018 to challenge Speaker of the House, the corrupt and despicable Nancy Pelosi. And Deanna, welcome to the show. It's so fun to have you with me today.
Dr. Jane Ruby, it's so great to be here. I'm so happy to be here. And I am just so excited about your show and the explosion, the impact that you're making with your show.
Well,
you're
thanks.
Incredible.
Well,
so it's an honor
you.
To be here.
Thanks. You know, in our old, for people's background, you and I met a number of years ago, and you were in California, but you were in DC a lot, and you were running for office,
yes.
And it was very exciting times. We're going to reminisce a little bit about that. We were like compatriots in terms of going to different, right? In terms of protests and rallies and things like
yes.
that. Yeah.
We were in the thick of it. I mean, between like 2018 to 2020, you lived in DC.
Yeah.
And I was always in DC. You know, I was going back and forth and I was strongly considering moving there. And we have the fondest memories of hanging out in the Trump Hotel, because the Trump Hotel was like, it was like the refuge for anyone who was a conservative and Trump supporter in DC, because it was mostly Democrats in DC.
Yeah.
So we would hang out at the Trump Hotel and we would run into all our friends and prominent conservatives that we'd see on TV all the time. And we would all just be, you know, colleagues and hanging out. And it was so fun. And the thing that that makes me sad about those times, but also happy, is that there was such an optimism and an just this electricity in the air because Trump was president. And there was this optimism of the country and where it was going, and this feeling that we were all there to make a difference, to make a positive difference. And that was just, it's not there anymore, but it was so much in the air then. And me and you hanging out at the Trump Hotel and going to political events in DC, we were just all about that.
It was great. And do you remember how we met, or did we meet like at one of those meetups in the Trump, or did we have a mutual friend or something? You remember how we met?
I think that we met at one of the meetups at the Trump Hotel. I think we were introduced by Mike or somebody. And it was funny because at first,
we can say it, Mike Cernovich. I still love him to this day.
Yeah, Mike Cernovich, I think. Yeah,
Jack
Mike
Posobiec. Cernovich.
Jack Posobiec. And we were kind of rubbing elbows. And I will say, at first, you weren't maybe the nicest to me. At first, you were a little, I think you might have called me a lounge lizard.
No.
And maybe I was.
I never called anybody that. There was a woman in D.C. who was kind of like in her 80s, and she used to hang out there and kind of like give everybody, and they called her the lounge lizard, but I never even called her the lounge lizard. But I will say
But I was going to end it with a happy note too. But
I'm sorry. I stole your thunder. I was like, oh my God, no, I wasn't mean, but I will tell you.
No.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I say that after I got to know you more, I realized, you know, I've come to have a profound, deep respect and, you know, an affection for you. And I realized that what you were doing, you came from a place of protection. You were like a mama bear of DC, and you wanted to make sure that, you know, you vetted people and people were in there for the right reason, hanging out, because there are a lot of grifters, especially at that time.
There's
a lot of
people
that.
Yeah.
Still grifters. Yeah. And you were like kind of the mama bear of DC. You were Jane's DC, and you were very protective of Trump and the people that were in DC and there for the right reasons. And after getting to know you and then becoming friends with you, I saw that in you, and that was really cool.
That's really sweet. And I think the other thing you might've seen, which what I was going to say, and we can talk to our old buds up there, like Suzanne Monk, who's got her own show now on
Love Suzanne Monk.
Exceptional Conservative Network. You know, Suzanne said you were very hard to break through. And that's because living in DC 10 years, you learn, you have to be careful because people come out of nowhere. Oh, come and do my event. And then they turn out to be grifters that are trying to get to, you know, an elected official. Remember, because then you went through the entire process of running against Nancy Pelosi, which I think was the most amazing thing one of them that you've ever done.
That was in 2019. At the end of it, I just declared, I'm going to do this. I'm going to run against Nancy Pelosi because she's crazy as hell. I kept waiting, Jane, for somebody to run against her, some Republican, some very conservative patriot, and nobody was throwing their hat out there. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to do it. Somebody's got to do it. It's a dirty job.
Yeah.
And it was a crazy, crazy time.
I bet. But look what you know, obviously it's hard to go up against somebody like that, but you ended up writing books from it. You were able to expand your reach because people saw that you had the guts to do something like that, which I think is fun. I want to show everybody. I brought a couple of pictures for fun. the first one is, and you know, for my wonderful producer, I like to number things. The first one is Deanna and Jane on the bus. We were in the middle of downtown DC. I forgot what we were doing. Maybe you remember it. It was super hot. When I have my hair back like that, it's super hot. Do you remember where we were going?
I think we were going to a rooftop event maybe or something. I mean, everywhere in DC is a big political event, right? Or some sort of a Trump event.
Yeah.
Everything is. I don't remember exactly what that was. Maybe it was a rally or a protest, which we went to hundreds of those, it seems like.
Yeah. And we were in the bus because we were all of us are sort of peeps, so that we were safe and we were all in one place. And it was really fun. I remember we were sitting in the front of the bus. The other picture is one of my most fun times with you and in general. And that is this one where we're on the dock. Remember this one?
Yes. Yes.
What was it called? The Spirit of America, or what was it called? Something like that, right?
The cruise. Yes. Yes. On the 4th of July.
Yeah. Maybe it was the 4th of July. I mean, for those of you watching the show, we're on the Potomac River, right? We're here. We're about to get on the boat. They had the wine flowing even before we got to the plank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that great?
It was so fun. And everyone was dressed up patriotic and everything. And it was just, again, it was just this amazing optimism and energy and everybody trying to make a difference. Yeah. And I wish that was still there, because once Biden became president, it was like this dark cloud came over America.
I know.
But I long for those days. And Dr. Jane, you were so also just, I love that you were in the middle of everything. Like, you were either organizing the event or speaking at the event or knowing the people that were speaking at the event. I mean, you were always kind of in the middle. It was like Dr. Jane's DC. You were always in the middle of everything, of all the action. Yeah. And I love that about you. You're really just really keyed into DC. And again, for the right reasons, though, you really, really care.
I loved my life in DC. I have to tell you, mm-hmm. Deanna, if something changed, either job-wise or maybe politically, that it made sense, I would leave Florida in a minute, in a heartbeat. And it's not that I don't like Florida, but I just miss it. But what people tell me up in DC, and I'm sure you hear it too, is what you're missing doesn't exist right now. And that's that. Yes. But it's temporary. Everything is temporary in life, right? So
temporary. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we say goodbye to you, because we're just doing a little segment to say hi, I wanted people to know that, you know, we worked together before this. I'm super excited about your show, Shots Fired. You've actually been doing the show for quite a while with Stu, almost right after I started working with him. But now it's, you know, it's produced. Twice a week?
Twice a week. Yeah. For a while it was... you know, at the premium only. And so there weren't not that many people could access it.
Yeah.
And just in the last 2 months, just in the last month, actually, it's been two times a week. So in the last 2 months is really kind of when I've gotten my groove and really gotten That's the show awesome. Big out there.
Well, before we say goodbye, I want to thank my sponsor, Triad Air, on their website. They have incredible products to keep you safe. Don't forget to go to filters.suck.com. Use the promo code Ruby for 10% off and free shipping. But before I say goodbye to Deanna, I want to ask you guys, you know, I have great followers on Telegram, and help her grow her following so that more people can enjoy her show, Shots Fired. Deanna, tell people what it is. It's t.me/what?
Deanna's channel, DEANNASCHANL channel. Deanna's channel.
Give her a follow.
Two ends in the channel. Right there. Yeah, follow me. I do lots of posts during the week. And I can't say enough how proud and excited I am. I feel like proud is sort of like a mother to a daughter. So I kind of don't like the word proud, but like, really though, Dr. Jane, you are so incredible and you're doing such great work out there you're changing lives.
Thank you, Deanna.
Everybody needs to share your show everywhere.
I appreciate that so much. And we're going to get Shots Fired is such a popular, I think you're right up there, and it's exciting and it's going to explode.
Thank you.
So thanks again for coming by, and we can reminisce a little bit. Have a great weekend.
Yes. I can't wait to come to Florida next and visit you.
You always have a place to stay. Okay. Thanks for being here. So that's it for this edition of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show. And it's a wrap for the week. I hope you've been informed and I hope you've been inspired. Find the joy this weekend, and I'll see you maybe in a little coffee chat, or don't forget my Saturday show, the premium show, The Takedown, Dr. Jane. Have a great weekend. Love you all.